I don't buy every conspiracy theory out there. In fact, you might say I'm a curious skeptic. But there is just enough evidence to consider the possibility that the powers that be are manipulating us like so many pawns on a chessboard. That's why we hear the theories out on Jim Harold's Conspiracy Corner.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Corner. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And I apologize in advance for my voice. I'm suffering from a little bit of a cold, but I think you'll agree that the subject matter is so compelling and so interesting today with our guest that it will far outweigh my raspiness. So the subject today are cruises. Now, usually that is thought of as a pleasant thing. You think of the Love Boat, and myself, I've been on a cruise just once, but I absolutely loved it, a family cruise. But we have a guest here who has a bit of a cautionary tale. I'm talking about Kendall Carver. Now, Kendall had an esteemed business career. He was promoted to president and CEO of Washington National Life Insurance Company of New York in 1977 and held that position until he retired in 1995. And you would think after such a great business career, you would have a delightful and sedate kind of retirement. But Kendall's life changed in 2004 when his daughter disappeared aboard a cruise ship. In the time since, he has spent his life searching for answers. And in 2006, he founded a group called International Cruise Victims. Kendall Carver, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
And as a parent of albeit young kids, I know how much you worry for your children. And I'm so sorry to hear that you had this horrible experience with your daughter. But since it kind of starts out the story, please tell us what happened.
Well, very, very briefly, Marion was 40 years old, lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And we got a call from her daughter. She had joint custody with her daughter. She was divorced and said that Marion was not returning her phone call. So we didn't think that was when we started calling Marion, couldn't make contact. So after a week, sent the Cambridge police in on a missing person request into her apartment. Everything was fine in her apartment. There were no issues. So I started a process, starting off with the Cambridge police. After about 2.5-3 weeks, the Cambridge police indicated that they found a credit card transaction which purchased a celebrity cruise ship cruise out of Washington up to Alaska and back to Vancouver. So I called Celebrity, which is really Royal Caribbean, and said, gee, was our daughter on your ship? And they got back to me and said, well, this is like 3 weeks into it. She was, but after a couple of days, didn't use her room, but that's no big deal. And they couldn't tell me whether or not she got off. So we were just left hanging. And at that point, Marion had a 13-year-old daughter. So we in effect, hired an international detective agency, ultimately hired two law firms, first in Boston. Then we had to hire another law firm in Florida. And the only thing that we wanted to do, Jim, was talk to the steward. And we'd ask them that first week, was there any video of Marion? And they got back and they said, no, all the videos have been erased. There's no video of her daughter. So the next person was to go to the steward of the ship. We just wanted to talk to him and had seen Marion. And to get to that steward, Jim, took us 4.5 months, cost us $75,000 in legal and detective fees to get a deposition of that steward. And when we finally got to him in the middle of January of 2005, he relayed a story that he had reported Marion missing daily.
Wow.
For 5 days. And his boss told him, just forget it and do your job. So they come to Vancouver and they say, okay, what should I do with the stuff in the room? His supervisor said, just put it in a bag and put it in my locker. And then they got rid of it. So that's where we started off. And for the next many months, we did intensive investigations. We ended up with 3 emails, which can be seen in my Senate testimony on our website, which in effect showed the setting up of the cover-up of Marion's disappearance. And I'm not going to go through all of it, but it clearly they checked with the 15 people that worked with the steward to make sure that nobody had talked to that steward. They talked to the steward in another email and said, make sure you don't talk to anybody. And then the other memo, they talk about her goods and getting rid of them. So that started us on a process that has been going on ever since. In fact, in August, when she went missing on the 28th, it's been 10 years now since Marion went missing. Well, that ultimately, we didn't go public with Marion's story for about 14 months and finally decided to go public with the story because we knew they had lied to us at the beginning when they said that they had no knowledge of it when we found out the steward had been reporting her missing. So by chance, I knew one person at CNN in New York City. I'd called him in September. He was doing something called Anderson with Anderson Cooper called Katrina. And he kind of put me off and said, well, we're busy now. And I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Well, 3 months later, he called and said, Ken, I'm going to fly out. We're going to interview you. And that put us on the first Anderson Cooper show. And it's been a ride since then. That put us into the first House hearing in December of 2005. Discussed only two cases, Marion's case and the George Smith honeymoon couple. And Marion has since been the subject of four House hearings and one Senate hearing, which resulted in the passages of legislation 4 years ago, the Cruise Vessel Safety and Security Act, with only 4 votes against it in the House and the Senate. So that kind of gets you to where we are. When we had that first hearing, though, Jim, I just want to mention this. I came to the conclusion that there's a major problem with the cruise line industry on the reporting of crimes and the cover-up, as we had experienced. So I went to 3 other people that I knew had lost children, relatives, and we started International Cruise Victims, January 1st, 2006. Jim, we're now in 25 countries in the world with a separate corporation in Europe and Australia, and we do it with only volunteers. We have no paid staff, but we have gone to the around the world, and I really recommend people look at our website at www.internationalcruisevictims.com. .org, and you'll get some perspective of where we are today.
And your scenario was certainly a nightmare scenario, but when somebody might see or read about your experience, they might think, well, you just ran into some bad actors. You know, horrible things happen in every industry that's ever been created. There are abuses, and unfortunately, whether you're talking about automobiles, airplanes, whatever it might be, there's always some kind of cover-ups from someone. What convinced you that this was not just a one-time thing with you, but there was an overall systemic problem with the cruise industry?
Well, what I recommend is people go on our website, and there's a link on the homepage to something called Cruise Junkie. And that's run by a professor, Ross Klein. And he keeps track of missing people. And Marion's story happens every 2 weeks. Somebody goes missing off a cruise ship, and there's never answers to it. So it's not something that happened just one time. It happens every 2 weeks. So far this year, there have been 19 people disappear off cruise ships. It's an astounding number. But, Jim, that's only part of the problem. The other part of the problem is women that are sexually molested or raped on a cruise ship. The chances of that happening on a cruise ship, according to Dr. Klein, is 50 to 100% greater than in the average American city. And why is that the case? Well, you get on a cruise ship, they're serving unlimited drinks. There is no police on a cruise ship. Only they have their security that works for the cruise lines. And there's no police. So you got unlimited drinking, you got thousands of people together. Women are being molested, raped, robberies. People can rob somebody for less than $10,000. It's not even reported. It doesn't have to be reported. So that these crimes are going on. But in material, which we will be posting, hopefully in the next couple of days, you'll see through a Freedom of Information Act, over 560 crimes that were reported, but not made public. And the cruise lines said, we'll report the crimes. You know how many crimes they reported?
How many?
100 out of 560. And we don't know how many cases are not even, they don't even file. A lot of women that are raped get off the ship, don't even file a report. So that's the magnitude of the problem. It's a city with no police and unlimited drinking. That's what you've got. And the crimes are covered up. And let me just, I'll just take that a step further. In 2012, under Freedom of Information Act, you know how many files the FBI opened on these 560 cases?
How many?
18. You know how many convictions? Four.
Wow.
I mean, it's a joke.
Now, let me ask you this. You brought up the idea of unlimited alcohol, and I think the typical person, when they hear somebody disappearing on a cruise ship, they assume, well, person got drunk. As you said, there's ample alcohol. People maybe get a little crazier. You know, during a cruise, they figure, hey, I don't have to drive. I don't have to get home. This is my one vacation a year. I'm going to let loose. And they simply go on deck and fall overboard. Simple as that. Case closed. Do you think that's the case in most disappearances, or you think maybe there's something more sinister going on? I mean, it's horrible if you lose a loved one, and I don't want to minimize that in any way, whether they fall overboard or they're murdered, they're still just as dead, and it's still just as sad of a thing for the victims. But do you think these mainly are just the people getting drunk and falling overboard? Do you think something else is going on?
A lot of things going on. In the last week or so, a case, somebody was finally caught. It was a crew member, raped a woman on a ship, and then he tried to throw her overboard at that point. But she fought him and got free. So here she's been raped by a crew member. He then tries to throw her overboard, and but she survived it. And so they were able to get to that individual, that crew member, and I think he'll probably be convicted of the rape, but it was also attempted murder. But let me talk about that for a second, Jim. In our 2010 legislation, there is a requirement that if the systems are available, that if somebody goes overboard, if they can immediately be advised that those devices need to be put on cruise ships so they know exactly where and when somebody goes overboard. The way it operates now, it could be hours later before they even know the person's missing. Well, guess what? That is a requirement of the law. The Coast Guard in 2011 asked for proposals for man overboard systems that would identify somebody going overboard immediately. They got proposals. Guess what, Jim, they never contacted those companies who had the systems. Now, who did the Coast Guard contact? Well, I went through a Freedom of Information Act and found out they contacted the cruise lines and not the companies that proposed the system. So the cruise lines don't want to do that. So we don't know the answer to your question, Jim. And maybe some of these people could have been saved, but here's a requirement of the law that is being ignored both by the regulators and the cruise lines.
Do you have a case where maybe the fox is guarding the hen house in that there seems to be a lot of cross-pollination between the government and the cruise industry?
You know something, Jim, I hate to say this. Unfortunately, I have to conclude that's exactly what's happening. Let me give an example. The cruise lines, Royal Caribbean, hired the number three guy for the FBI. They then hire the chief lobbyist for the FBI. And if you go to CLIA, the Cruise Line International Association, most of the people are ex-Coast Guard. So they've gone to the regulators. They've hired them. Every 2 to 3 months, they have a dinner for them. And it's a job upon retirement. I mean, I had no idea that once we pass the law, then trying to get it enforced would be as difficult as it is. And yet, unfortunately, now let me talk about somebody going overboard, Jim. Mm-hmm. There's a law that says you got to have the system. Companies have proposed system. They haven't talked to them. Do you know what the Coast Guard spends when they go out looking for somebody?
True.
$500,000 to $1 million is spent of U.S. taxpayer money to look for people in the Caribbean. They never find them. Well, I had dinner or breakfast in a Marriott in Washington, D.C. a year or so ago, and I was telling the individual, the couple, what I did, and I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm in search and rescue for the Coast Guard. I said, well, would it help you to know exactly when somebody went overboard and exactly where they are? There's only one answer to it. Yes. So here we got hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent when it shouldn't, it's not necessary or could be minimized to that extent. But let me take that a step further. The cruise line very effectively have put their corporation in Liberia and Panama. Now, why is that? It's to avoid taxes and U.S. regulations. They've taken their ships and flagged them in third world countries like the Panama, the Bahamas, Liberia, wherever. Well, yet, Jim, even though they pay no taxes, they use the services of 21 government, U.S. government agencies to operate. They're using the Coast Guard. They're using all of these different agencies, border security, all of these things, and they're not paying for it. That's a great business plan. Everybody should do that. So they're being subsidized indirectly by the government. It's insane. Now, somebody has figured that out. His name is Senator Jay Rockefeller, chairman of the Commerce Committee. He has really figured that out. So he has proposed legislation that they pay taxes and that crimes on cruise ships be made public. And let me just say this about sexual crimes. You've got a young family. You know that a third of all the sexual crimes are against minors. Now, would you want to know that, Jim, when you're taking your young girls on our family on a ship?
Oh, it's frightening.
A third of all the sexual crimes are against minors. And so they're using the government. They're being subsidized. And the crimes, in theory, are being reported to the FBI, but they don't want the information public. If you had a crime in a hotel in Miami Beach, that is, they may not say what the crime is, but that becomes a statistic that you can look up by zip code and see how many crimes there were. And that's the intention, that people know if crimes weren't a problem, then, hey, let's make it public because they got to submit the information. They just don't want it let out of the box and made public. I mean, it's incredible.
Now, I have to ask you this. You're a man of business. I mean, you succeed in business, so it's interesting. So I think you've certainly got that on your side in terms of credibility. This is someone who is not anti-business at all. You're someone who worked for years in business and was very successful. But is this something that you think each and every major cruise line is guilty of, or do you think they're just only certain actors, or do you think they're all pretty much in the same boat?
They're all in the same boat. They're all doing the same thing. That's part of that industry. And they report to it. They have an association called CLIA, which I just mentioned earlier. And that represents all of the major cruise lines. None of them have been willing to break out of that box and do the right thing. They just have not been willing to do that. They've stood together. And by doing so, they've avoided the laws. They've reported the public disclosure of crimes. They've avoided the taxes. And the last thing they want is for somebody to do something. Now, let me give you an example, Jim. I don't know what cruise line you took, but let's take Disney. That's a family ship. You know, you take your kids on it. You got Mickey Mouse and everything. Well, a TV station, a CBS TV station in Florida, was able to get video of an 11-year-old girl while the ship was in port being molested by one of the stewards on an elevator. Somehow they got the video. Well, what did the people on the ship knew what happened? A report was made before the ship ever left the port. Guess what happened? Disney chose not to disclose that to the FBI or the local police, which had jurisdiction. They waited a day, went out in the high seas, then reported, and they got to the Bahamas and let the guy give him the money to fly back to India. Now, here's Disney, the ultimate family cruise line, doing what they could to not report the crime in an appropriate manner. Now, the laws that Rockefeller's trying to put in place, if that crime occurs, that they should report it if it's in port immediately to the local police. And the police come on and take action, or within 4 hours of when it happens. But here, Disney chose to wait a day, go out in the high seas, then report it, then get to the next port, and the guy gets a ticket to fly back to India or wherever he lived.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible, just simply horrible. Now, when is this, what is the status of this legislation and when will it be up for vote?
Well, we had a hearing. In fact, I recommend people go on to our website. On the left-hand side, there's a legislative box. It has the C-SPAN of the hearing. Well, the hearing was held by Senator Rockefeller with the Commerce Committee. And the cruise lines were not even invited because previous hearings, they come, they say we're going to do something, but they don't do anything. So he's given up on the cruise lines. So Senator Rockefeller is taking an unusual approach. He is doing this, trying to put the Coast Guard apportionment bill. Well, the Coast Guard needs to be funded. So he's doing what he can after the election. He's going to wait until after the election to put it as part of that bill. So if the Coast Guard wants funding, they're going to have to, if he's successful in what he's doing, I mean, he's really playing it close to the wire, will be successful. But what is the cruise lines? How are they responding to that? I have the information, Jim. They're giving out tens of thousands of dollars to members of the Commerce Committee on both sides to prevent anything happening that would legislate them against them. In other words, they're doing with money. They've got millions that they spend on lobbying. We don't have anything. All we have is the truth to prevent anything from happening. So I have to see how it plays out. Rockefeller's determined, but if somebody goes to that C-SPAN, which was just for international cruise victims in the Commerce Committee. And he said, I want to watch an hour and a half hearing. Just go to the last 15 minutes of that hearing, and you'll hear Senator Rockefeller saying to the cruise lines, why don't you just do things right? You make money. Why not? You'll be more successful. Why don't you just do this? You know, it's the right thing to do. But believe me, they don't want to do it.
Now, from the criminals' perspective, do you believe that criminals target cruisers because they know that they can get away with things that they couldn't get away with on dry land?
Absolutely, Jim. If you know that you could go to a city and rob people for anything less than $10,000 and it's not even reported to the FBI, well, my goodness, if Phoenix, Arizona, where I live, said, okay, you can rob people less than $10,000. We don't want to bother with that, and we're not going to report it. My goodness, you'd have every robber in the country. So here we have people on a cruise ship with their jewelry and personal possessions, and they can be robbed, and it's not even reported to the FBI. They don't even have to report it. So sure, it's a place, and there's no police. There's no police on a cruise ship. And that's, people are called security. They're not security. Half the crimes are committed by crew members. And they're not going to turn their in for a crime. So is Chris Shea, who was the first congressman that started the first hearing in December of 2005, said it's the perfect place to commit a crime. If a crew member rapes a woman, you know what they do with that crew member? They let him off at the next port and give him the money to fly back to where he is. You can't even get to these people. Mm-hmm. So it's sad, but people need to be aware of that. And you know what cruises are the most dangerous?
Which ones?
It's the 3 and 4 day cruise ships, where they go out for 3 or 4 days. It's a party ship.
Right.
Purely a party ship. The longer the cruise, probably the safer they are, because it's a different kind of audience. But people get on these 3 and 4 day cruises and they go wild. And we've got the statistics showing, and the cruise lines will admit it, they're the most dangerous. So you want a fun weekend, get on a cruise ship and drink and party and et cetera, but you better be careful. People that take the family and turn things loose are running a significant risk with kids.
Kendall, I'm sorry, that last part just totally broke up on my Skype. I didn't catch any of that. You just said, go if you want to have good time, 3 or 4 days, but you better be careful. But the part about the family, I didn't pick that up. So if you could restate that and I'll edit this part out. But yeah, you broke up pretty badly there. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I
hope it wasn't this end. People with a family should know when they go on a cruise ship that their children are vulnerable. With a third of the sexual crimes against minors, and there's no police and no action taken against the person that does the crime, people just think the kids are safe. They put the kids into the nursery program of the cruise ship. If you go to a nursery here in the United States, those facilities have to be licensed. The people have to be. Cruise lines, they don't have to have those. There are no standards. So I'm familiar with a case of a major cruise line where the guy that ran it was a pedophile. And he molested 50 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And people just assume you're going to, it's like a nursery here or a place for young adults here. And we've got a case that was discussed in the Senate hearing, where they ran a program for youth. Well, the last night, they let the kids out early. So the kids went out and had a party, and this girl, 14-year-old girl, was raped. You know, and the parents thought everything was under control. It wasn't under control.
Frightening stuff. So somebody comes to you, I have a feeling of what you're going to say, but I'm going to put it out there. Somebody that you know and you like, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, and say, you know, Kendall, I've got this great cruise booked. Would you tell them to A, cancel it, or B, would you give them a long list of precautions? What are your thoughts?
Well, you can't stop people from taking cruises. I mean, that's just part of it, the way it goes. I would tell them to stick together, don't let the kids go out on their own, and be extremely careful. Because let me rephrase the question, Jim.
Sure.
Let's say Marriott says, or a corporation comes to wherever you live and say, I want to open a resort. And when you go into the resort, we're going to close the doors. We're going to serve unlimited drinks. And if a crime occurs, nothing will happen. Well, they'd say to that company, you got to be crazy. I'm going to serve unlimited drinks. You got to be crazy to even present that. Yet that's exactly the scenario of a cruise ship. It's a place where people go on. There's no police, unlimited drinking. That couldn't exist in the United States. And the crimes aren't made public. You know, you couldn't put that scenario into United States. They'd say, well, that's crazy. We can't. That's not safe. And yet that's what a cruise ship is.
So if somebody wants to make a difference in this and try to assist, for example, in the legislation that is being looked at by the Congress, how can they help?
Well, we put out ICV updates. And if you go to our website, again, on the left side, you'll see the last ICV update we made last week, we put out last week. And click on that and read it. And it lists the members of the Commerce Committee. And we plead with people to contact these people and say, hey, support what Senator Rockefeller's trying to do. It's the right thing to do. And boy, that would be extremely helpful, Jim, for people to read that ICV update. You can see it. There's a tab at the top or there's a box along the side. We just put it out. It lists people on the committee. And boy, for people to contact those members. I mean, we're a group of victims with no money up against an industry that's willing to spend anything not to report crimes and do the appropriate thing. But the voice of the people is what can make the difference. That's, Jim, is what people can do today, and we would encourage them. The other thing they can do is there's a little box that they can enroll, and we'll give them future updates. We just sent out an update a few weeks ago. Victim Support of Europe is the major umbrella of all the victims' organizations in 28 countries in Europe. Guess what? Mm-hmm. They made ICV a member. We're the only member outside of Europe. We're an associate member of Victim Support. So we've gained worldwide support, but it takes people to take action to put pressure on the cruise lines and their congressmen to support what has to be done to correct this. It's just the right thing.
Well, Kendall Carver, thank you so much for joining us. Please give us that website address one more time.
Yeah, it's www.internationalcruisevictims.org. And we encourage you to go on and all of us and keep up to date and become aware of what the issues are that we're trying to change.
And certainly, I think one of the take-home messages is to be careful out there. Kendall Carver, thank you for joining us today on the program.
Thanks, John. My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on the Conspiracy Corner. We certainly appreciate it, and we hope that you found this useful. And, of course, be careful out there. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.